This is Glenn Coble. You're listening to On the Air. I almost missed getting on the air because I was looking up the tax thing that I told our caller I was going to. And I really didn't get a very good response. I got a good response. I just didn't have enough time to read it all. But the one note that it did bring up is that this is based by the Federal Tax Foundation. It looked official. The Federal Tax Foundation found that the top 1% of our population pays about 38.8% of their income to on taxes, and the bottom 90% pay 29.2% of their income in taxes. And it also pointed out that it really at the really bottom end of our income, people pay as low as 3%. And there are all sorts of numbers in there. And I'm going to have to go back. I'm sorry to the gentleman who was called in. I couldn't get that 45% number. But I also am sorry I couldn't explain it better. It's going to take some heavy-duty reading. And I'm not a great reader, but I'm going to look it up during the week that I'm gone here. But thanks for the information. I think that's important for all people to know. That not all multi-billionaires cheat the system. They have ways of avoiding things, like the caller said, giving to charitable organizations, churches, St. Jude's, all the different places that you can get a deduction. And I'm sure a lot of them have found ways that probably are on the edge of whether they should be taken or not. But there are also people that are genuine, like he brought up Mr. Gates, genuinely concerned about the people of the world and really try to do their best in getting the money back in circulation and go towards a good cause. Now, one of the things that I am absolutely certain about is that the difference between what the top 1% earners are making and the bottom 1% earners, I am absolutely certain that it has gotten wider and wider and wider. My wife and I have had interesting talks. Do you think that all rich people are rotten to the core? No, we really don't. My wife's family was fairly well off. I have a few friends that are very well off. Even my son, who lives down in Worthington, he and his wife are doing quite well. He works at a university, and she is a nurse. Together, their income is something I never thought I would hear any of my members of my family make. But anyway, money does, the Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's the whole thing, isn't it? The love of money. The need to have more money than everybody else. As you get older, maybe it's just me, but as I get older, I find the need for money is less and less. There are things I'd like to do if I had more money I could do easier. But I can do most of what I want to do. And it also gives me something to dream about, right? Oh, me. Anyway, one of the things that I wrote down about it, and it's kind of along the same line, does self-interest not become the only rule? I think there are people, the self-interest thing is the only rule. I once told my wife, I've told her several times, that the reason why people get into politics is for money, power, and sex. And I still believe that. And the fact that so many people are caught up in Money, Power, and Sex. And I say sex underlined because it does seem that that seems to drive an awful lot of what should be intelligent men nuts. I just don't understand it. What it comes down to is we are all animals. Some of us are more animalistic than others, I'd like to tell some of those people, grow up. This thing where Mr. Epstein, who apparently hung himself was driven to chase underage women and stuff like that, and I just don't understand how you can be so single in your thoughts that you don't realize what wrong you're doing to so many other people. Let's move on, because that's kind of a disgusting subject. And also, I'm not sure I have any answers or even any queries that would, excuse the use of that word, but queries that might enlighten anybody about that sort of thing. I do know when I sold cars for 2 years. And my sales manager, who is a very nice gentleman, but he once told me, he said, the way you sell a car is exactly the same way as when you're trying to get a girl in bed. And it stunned me that he would say that to me. By the way, I was married at the time, and I did not go around trying to get girls in bed at the time. My wife, of course, but there's a lot of that thinking going on in this world right now. And that's the way you sell everything. And everything is for sale. And that's what really disappoints me. You hear, all these... you hear these televangelists who have 40 bathrooms in their giant mansions and that sort of thing. What good does that do? What does that mean? Now, I know there is a philosophy, and I think it was probably developed by some minister who wanted everybody to think he was okay because he was a multi-billionaire. But there's a philosophy that if you are rich, God loves you more than other people. Well, that kind of flies in the face of everything I've read in the Bible. I don't know. I don't believe that for a minute. I think that's rationalization. Does self-esteem not become the only real rule? Well, my response to that is, if that's the real rule that we live by, we have already destroyed the civilization. Civilization means that we are civil to each other, I believe. Civilization means that we have thought through things and we try to do what's best for each other. Now, of course, you're going to think, first of all, of your wife and your family and yourself, but it doesn't mean to the exclusion of people around you, which I'm afraid we have gotten kind of okay with, especially amongst many of our politicians. I'm not one of those believers. I had a lot of people when I was running for office that would come up to me and say, all politicians are crooked. And I say, well, you're looking at one that isn't. And that usually stopped them from that, because I was not. I have lied in my day. I've been done things that I'm not proud of in my day. But when I was running for office, and most of my life, I have not done things that were crooked and things that would embarrass my mother or father. Matter of fact, I would say 99.999999% of my life has been above boards and really quite true to the New Testament. I try to be, anyway. These stupid coughs. Anyway, can a progressive life lead one to civilization? Well, my response to myself on that question was, it depends on the society's definition of progressive. Everything depends on our definitions. You can define communism as absolutely evil because of some of the communistic leaders that have wanted to have communism. But you can also flip that around and say, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us would care so much about each other that we would take care of each other and we'd share everything? It sounds good. It sounds utopian. But it doesn't work. We know it doesn't work that way. Because there's always somebody that wants to get an advantage on somebody else. Is that not true? I may be wrong. Hey, and you're welcome, by the way. I keep forgetting to tell people this, but you're welcome to call in if you'd like to tell me how wrong I am or how right I am. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Anyway, we will continue on. One of the things I wrote to myself, and I kind of looked at this and went, what does that mean? But make yourself better. And then I put a, is it called an ellipsis? Dot, dot, dot. Think. Yeah, I'm not the greatest thinker in the world, but if I want to get better, I have to think about things. I have to be in a room where nobody's bothering me, and I have to think about what I'm doing. Now, I try to think when I'm talking to people, too. That's another thing. One of the great things that Scott has that makes him such a good interviewer is he actually listens to what the interviewee is saying to him, and he thinks about it, and then he responds that way. I love to listen to Scott's interviews. Now, I know there are people out there probably saying, this, you know, Scott's your boss. Well, I don't get paid here, so nobody's my boss. I do this for the love of being able to shoot my mouth off, all right? I do this because I want the world to be better, and I think I know how we can be better, but we have to work at it, and we have to think, and we have to examine all of our own thoughts. When you're shooting your mouth off in some bar telling somebody how smart you are or trying to impress somebody, stop and think about it. Wait a minute. Do I know what I'm talking about? And most of the time, you'll have to say no. You might know part of what you're talking about, but most of what you're saying is something you heard somebody else say, and that was something that they heard somebody else say. So it's all just, and that's kind of the way we've passed knowledge along down through the ages, is listening to what the elders said to us and stuff like that. And a lot of really stupid stuff has been passed along, like flat earth. Toward the end, you'll wonder where your beauty went. It's still in there, but it's not so obvious. Sometimes I'm pretty smart. I say things like that. When I was a kid, I was an actor. I was also a semi-model. I was a pretty good-looking kid. I wasn't great-looking. I was just okay. I did a few things on, that I got paid for as an actor and a model. The beginning of my life, I thought beauty was all. I really did think that if you weren't handsome or beautiful, you probably weren't going to get ahead in life. But I found out after living 75 years, that's absolutely not the truth. There are a lot of really not so handsome people, and I won't mention their names, who have gone to the top of the list with intelligence and with concern, and so not necessarily is being great looking everything, because it's gonna go. I will guarantee you, it's gonna go. I try to look as the best I can every day, and it's still not there. I struggle. I do believe that younger people, when you're going for job interviews and that sort of thing, good looks is going to help. Good grooming is going to help. But if you don't have it, good knowledge is probably the best thing, I believe. I had a lot of kids that I probably had 20 to 30 kids every year work for me at the university in my office, and most of them were very bright. Not all of them were gorgeous, but the ones that I've hung with the most probably were the brightest ones. Some of them were good looking, some of them were not. But I always enjoyed being around smart people. I guess it kind of helped me out, helped make me a little smarter. But anyway, you will wonder where your beauty went as you get older. If you're a young person listening to this, or even if you're in your 50s or 60s, when you're in your 70s, you're going to say, hey, it's gone. But I can still be kind, and I can still be thoughtful, and I can still be a good person and help people out, which will make me look better, right? That's what I'm trying. Why do so many want to tell others what to do and believe? That's a good question, but that's the way life has been all of down through the ages. I also wrote this: if they are Christian, shouldn't they trust that their God will judge and that they will have no right to judge? That's kind of an interesting problem with Christianity is we right now, especially in this era, we seem to really want to judge other people. My dad used to say to me, you shouldn't judge people because you will be judged by those. I think that's in the Bible too. But you really shouldn't try to tell other people what to do and what to believe, especially what to believe. You might, if you're, what's that lady's name that always told us which fork to eat salad with? Anyway, Emily Post. Maybe if you have all those rules in your head and you want to pass them along, that's cool. Doesn't mean that I have to use that specific fork to eat my salad with. It just means that that's what snooty society believes I should, right? But you really shouldn't tell other people what they should believe. People believe what they want to believe, you should help them use their own critical analysis to learn what to believe, so they can teach themselves what to believe. One of the things I used to like to tell my kids that worked for me, and also I believe it holds very good water right now, is encourage courage. It's hard to be courageous. We have a society right now where we're very limited in our courage. We have a lot of lambs being led to the slaughter. We have a lot of people. Oh, there goes one of those sirens right in front of the place. That Scott talked about this morning. No, Scott, there's no police car trying to pull you over. That went by. It's on the radio. Anyway, encourage courage, because courage is probably one of the things, when I see somebody who has courage, that makes the person as good-looking as you can be, period. That's one of the finest qualities a person can have, is courage. And I don't mean being brave to go out and have sword fights with people. I mean being brave to take a stand. I mean like the person in Nazi Germany who, like in Schindler's List, or the people that helped the people that were being wrongly killed and persecuted and I say wrongly, and I think that's absolutely true. There is no reason to persecute a person because he's Jewish, or he's a gypsy, or he's handicapped. There is no reason in the world. And the people that stood up against that were very brave, and their courage was, you know, very obvious after the fact. But there is also other types of courage. Courage to disagree with the common norm, to disagree with the idea that, let's say in the 50s, where so many white people thought black people were not as smart as they are. It took a lot of courage, like for my father, to march on the with the group that was marching towards Montgomery, Alabama, and got run over by the cops on the Pettit Bridge. Dad was fortunate; he was way at the back of that list, or at the back of that line, and didn't get his skull cracked. But that's the type of courage I'm talking about. The type of courage where somebody doesn't see it. You just do it, you know. Courage is my a strong belief I hold. It's 11:35. You're listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio, 107.1. And these are the sometimes insane ramblings of an old man. Now, one of the things that I do, and I wrote this down, one of the things that aggravate me to death is that the rich believe they are entitled to be rich. I have a great friend who says, well, they earned it. They all earned it. Well, they didn't earn it. Some of them were given it. Some of them stole it. Some of them did earn it, but not all of them earned whatever riches they've gotten. Most of us have to work to get rich, but there are people that don't have to, and then they feel entitled because they are rich. They think they've deserved it. It's kind of the philosophy that some of these ministers have, that because they're rich, God likes them better. Boy, that'll steer you away from being a Christian in a hurry. These are some of the things, and I wrote this down. I think my puppy told me I should write all these things down, but these are the things that make me angry. And I truly mean they make me angry. I will throw my keys at you if I find you spouting this sort of stuff. Racism. Racism, if everybody could have had the life that I had as a youngster, where I grew up in South Bend, Indiana, in an area that was a changing area. Dad's church, St. Paul's Methodist Church, was right on the edge of what you would call the changing area. And 30-35% of the kids I went to my first junior high and high school with were African American. So you kind of get to know people. And once you get to know them, you find out everybody's the same. I mean, there are bad African Americans and good ones. There are bad Chinese and good ones. You know, we all have goods and bads. There are just good and bad people. Let's face it. I hate racism, so please don't give me any of that. And I will argue with you about that. I don't argue about much, but I will argue about racism. I won't call you a racist. I will just say that's not a good attitude, because you're running somebody down because of the color of their skin, or for that matter, the slant of their eyes, or the color of their hair, or the size of their nose. That type of stuff. Okay, number two, hypocrisy. I absolutely hate hypocrisy. Now, I probably won't throw that in your face, but we have so much hypocrisy going on right now that it's hard not to throw it in the face of many of our politicians. and being a liberal, I'm going to say many of our Republican politicians, for them to say that that was civil discourse on January 6th is far beyond hypocrisy. I don't know. There's a lot of hypocrisy going on, you know, people saying that they're better than they really are. There's a lot of lying going on. Now, we had a president who supposedly told over 30,000 lies that were heard nationally. And it was, now why we even keep track of that sort of thing, I don't know. But the fact, well, he was caught in his own lies just about every day. So, and I don't know why people try to defend him for that. It's just too obvious. Murder, of course. I can't understand murder anywhere. I really even have a hard time when the government goes and tracks down a terrorist and they kill him. It was Obama that was in charge of the murder of what's his name, the guy, the terrorist. Anyway, when that happened, I was not proud to see my president say that we killed him. I wish we could have taken him and put him in jail or something. Now, whether they had any choice in the matter, it sounds like they didn't have a choice in the matter, but I don't like that we condone murder of anyone, even if they are way off the... We have ways to contain people that are nuts, but anyway, and I do not believe in the death penalty, so... Another reason not to like me. Gerrymandering, yeah. Gerrymandering is just a way of cheating. That's all it is. It's a way of cheating. Our government was so basically founded on the fact that every man, every woman, well, when it was founded, it was every man, every white man, has one vote. Now it's become, and it should become, every person has one vote. And, you know, we don't allow those under 18 to have a vote. But anyway, we have now gotten to the point where we figured out scientifically how we can cheat that system by giving certain people more votes by moving them into an area where their political party has more control. I absolutely hate gerrymandering. I also hate money in politics. I think we should find a way to do away with money in politics. And I know there are people that will say, well, you can never do that. Yes, you can. You can make it against the law to give people money for politics. But, yeah, I understand. There will be people that will find ways to get around all these rules. But they should be exposed. That's, you know, the light of day makes a lot of this... more doable. Voter suppression, which we're getting into an awful lot. There, what was 10 or more states have passed voter suppression laws. You really think it's better to cut out the number of people vote than to allow more people to vote? Especially at a time where we've absolutely proven without a shadow of a doubt, and every time we find voter fraud, it tends to be the people or the political party that's hating freedom of voting. But we should have more people vote. Everybody should be allowed to vote. And I will love it someday when everybody is allowed to vote. And I imagine there will be a day like that. Whatever happened to my screen here? Anyway, okay. The one thing that really gets my goat, well, it's not the one thing, it's one of those several things, is ignorance. And I don't mind people being ignorant because they don't know, but I hate people that are ignorant because they don't want to know. the fact that people will bury their head in the sand because they don't want to hear that. It's like the gentleman who called in this morning and said that I have learned something from that gentleman, which will change my opinion on some things. But to bury your head in the sand and not listen to other people just because you don't want to hear it, that doesn't do you any good, and it definitely doesn't do the society around you any good. You should want to hear it so that you can make a thoughtful opinion about whatever it is. The abortion thing. I hate abortion. I hate the thought of anybody having to have an abortion. But I don't think I have any right to tell anybody what they can do with their body. I know the religious people will say, well, that six-week-old fetus is a living human being. Well, that's your opinion. Okay, and I should listen. Why is that your opinion? And I have for years. I've listened to both arguments on both sides, and I've come to the opinion the best thing that we can do is allow women to make their own decision. But I still would, if my daughter got pregnant, you know, when she was young or something like that, got raped, for that matter, if she'd just gotten pregnant by a boyfriend, I would tell her to keep the child. And grandpa and grandma will take care of them if you can't. But if she then felt it was just something she couldn't do, it would have been her decision, not mine. Let's see. Well, I don't know why I wrote this down. I must have been listening to Kellyanne Conway or whatever her name was. Alternate facts are perjury. Yeah, I truly believe that. If you're listening to somebody else's facts that are not facts, but what somebody told you were facts, those facts are not true. They're perjury. They're not correct. Think about it. Alternate facts. Okay. 2 + 2 = 4. Now, the alternate fact is that 2 + 2 = 5. Is that true? I don't know. I did take modern science, or modern math, I think that's what they called it, when I was in college. And I'll tell you what, I was more confused after going through that class than I was before, because basically it said subset 2 plus subset 2 equals subset 4. Well, you can always say it, just 2 + 2 = 4. I just never quite understood it. Maybe that's my ignorance showing. I'm sorry. Let's see, I already talked about money leaks. Okay. This is one of the things that I wrote down one night when I was feeling particularly, boy, that's a hard word for me to say, intelligent. You know, sometimes I fool myself into thinking I know what I'm talking about. I wrote this down. Our lives are like chapters in a book. Being progressive means you continue to read. That sounds pretty smart to me. I don't. It means you continue to read, and you don't close the book when you get to chapter 3, even if there are 17 chapters. You continue to read. That's being progressive. That's moving forward. It's not stopping. It's not, oh, I think I'll read the chapter that I just read, and then I'll read the chapter before that. That's not what progressive is. That's why I think of myself as a progressive. I do try to continue to read what's ahead. And there's nothing wrong with doing it slower. A lot of my friends, their progression is very slow, but they're still progressive. Now, they won't call themselves a progressive because that's become a dirty word in certain societies, but they are moving forward. Don't you believe we need to move forward? I do. If we had always stayed the same, we wouldn't know what fire was, right? anyway, we'd all be dying of botulism, and we wouldn't know how to, in more modern times, how to combat COVID-19. Now I got to figure out whether I need to get a fourth shot, right? I've had all three of mine. Now they're talking about maybe needing a fourth shot. This is one of the nights I must have been depressed when I wrote this in. I was talking about being fired. I've been fired, I think, I've been fired three times. Once I was fired because I asked my boss to pay me the $3,000 he owed me, and he didn't want to do it. Once I was fired because we got a new president in town, and the new president wanted a new group of people to work under him. I understand that. I can't remember what the third one was. It was something I did wrong. Heaven forbid. But anyway, most of the time that I got fired, I blamed myself. I blamed myself as I wasn't a good person, or I wasn't working hard enough, or I didn't do the right stuff. Well, I found out one of my bosses, the third boss, fired me because I was accomplishing a lot of things and getting a lot of credit for it. And this boss did not want me to take the credit. This boss wanted to take the credit. Don't blame yourself too much for getting fired. Now, examine yourself. It's along the lines of what I was talking about before. Think critically. Understand that you may have done something that wasn't helpful to remaining under the hire of that person or that company, but it was something that you did. Make sure that it was something that you did that you thought was right. Now, if you're stealing, that's not right. You need to be fired. But if you're doing something along the lines nobody's told you not to do, and you think it's working well for the company, and then your boss says, "Oh, that's really stupid. How could you do that?" Well, explain it to them, and if they don't like it, they can fire you. But don't blame yourself. Pick yourself up. Go on to the next job, find another job that you can do, and do it. And do it to the best of your ability. That's all there is. You can't do more than to the best of your ability, right? I keep finding these things. Why do we fight progress? Well, that is a good question. I don't know why we fight progress. We don't like progress. We like things to stay the way they are, right? It's easier. It's a lot easier. And if there is no one that believes in doing things the easy way, I am it. I like doing things the easy way. I could never be an Olympian because I wouldn't even want to climb up the hill so I could slide down it. Yeah. Oh, me. Let's see, I don't know what I was writing here. A new birth of freedom, Lincoln referring to the ending of slavery. Well, it kind of was a new birth of freedom, but we didn't really like it very much, did we? The old white guys, like yours truly, decided that we would we'd let them have a little bit of freedom. Reconstruction actually proved that we really didn't want what we fought that war over, or at least some of us didn't really like that. That's all I had on this page. That's a lot. That was, I don't know how many pages long that is, but I kind of went over everything. One of the things I hate in politics is dirty tricks. And we seem to love dirty tricks. People say, well, it makes you smarter if you can pull a dirty trick on somebody. No, it doesn't make you smarter. It makes you I almost used a bad word. But that's what it makes you. Dirty tricks are no more than lies in sheep's clothing, I guess. And we seem to do that. currently in our politics. And I'm not just saying one party or the other. There are dirty tricks played on both sides of the coin now. And I'm not going to be one of those people that says it's always one side and the other. There are, right now, there is a side that is a lot more civilized than the other side. And I'll leave that up for you to decide. We need to play by the established rules, but that's one of the things that that Congress is now looking into. Where some of the what we called norms for our president, were they established? Well, no, they weren't totally established. So therefore, the person that broke those norms wasn't going against the law. He was just going against the norms. And you can't punish a person for going against the norms. I mean, you can socially punish them, but you can't legally punish them. He was just doing it a different way, right? So they're trying to work, make the rules work better. Like the new, what is it called? The Electoral Something Act, where they're looking at the electors that elect our president. First of all, I think that should be done away with, but they're trying to make it more clear that the vice president can't just go in and bring in his own electors and do away with the old electors. So that rule apparently was completely bogus. It was just not workable, and so they're working on that. I would like to see them do away with the Electoral College, but I don't think they're going to do it in the near future. I'm sure there was a reason for it, and I have a feeling it had to do with rich people wanting to at least have some control over half of the bicameral House. Or Congress. I hope I used that term correctly. Probably not. Let's see. But we should have rules that we can play by and that no one is exempt from. And right now, it also seems like there are a lot of people that are exempt from a lot of different rules that are laws. Just saying I'm not going to answer to a subpoena sounds to me like it's breaking a law, so you should be thrown in jail until you do answer to the subpoena. That's what I think. Did you know, by the way, and I put this in here, I don't know why it popped into my little brain this night that I was typing this stuff in, student debt, there is one student that defaults on student debt every 28 seconds. That is one of those areas that we really need to establish rules that help everybody, including the government. The government doesn't know which way to go on it either, it doesn't seem like. And I think another thing is that you should accept the blame. If you vote Democratic, and we come up with a Democratic president. I'm trying to think of a really bad one. Well, anyway, if you vote one party or the other party, and you do it without thought, then you must take the blame for all the evils that your party is doing. I think you should take the blame for all of them. If you don't really look into the people you vote for. Now, I usually don't vote solid one party or the other. I must admit that. Usually I have several friends on the right side of the aisle that I care about and that I think would do a good job, and I vote for them. I think we all have to accept the responsibility if we don't do our homework and we just vote willy-nilly without thinking about it. We need to accept the blame and quit saying all politicians are corrupt, because they're not. Hey, we're almost at the end of the show. I hope I haven't completely angered you or completely bored you. This is just a conversation. You and I are having a conversation. We're sitting having a beer and enjoying each other. And you're disagreeing with me on things and agreeing with me on other things, and I'm doing the same to you. Anyway, we will be back after 15 minutes of a break, and I'm going to be talking about stuff for Valentine's Day. It'll be a lot lighter than the previous 2 hours, all right? And we'll kind of enjoy some trivia on Valentine's Day. But don't forget, it is Swap Shop. Now, we know there aren't going to be a whole lot of swaps in the middle of the winter with the terrible weather and all that sort of thing. But if you have something that you want to sell, give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'm Glenn Coble. You've been listening to On the Air. We're going to flip over here, and you're going to get the news and the weather and some other stuff, and then we'll be back, and we'll talk some more.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the talking place for legendary talk show host Phil Donahue.
And I'm just impressed with your professional enthusiasm, and you're doing what I used to do. Just, you know, drive people crazy until they finally say yes and do the show. That shows me a lot.
Well,
more